Thessalonians chapter 2, and turn your cell phones to silent. Yeah, well, you can put it outside. Well, that's plan B, but you know.
Who calls me anyway?
Mine's in a truck, so you know. Nobody calls me but Debbie, and she's here, so. And I told her not to call me during church. So. Not that I had to.
Second Thessalonians
chapter 2. Again, reading in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, last week I read and talked about the prior verses. Those were the verses that spoke of the Antichrist, which is to come. And the mystery of iniquity, which doth already work. Now, the mystery of iniquity does already work, whether it's named Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, or Buddhist. I didn't read it last week, but I did think about this verse, so I'm going to read it this week. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. That's where you get the Baptist, Methodist, Catholic stuff. And Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Church of God, Church of Christ. You can just keep on naming them if you want. Because they're making up new names every day. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. There are those out there whose life's work is to be a fake minister of a fake righteousness. That's it. Walter quotes it all the time, and I do too. There's going to be some that come at the end and say, Lord, haven't we done preached in your name, done many wonderful works in your name? The reason we repeat this is because it worries us. I don't want to be one of those that come to Christ and say that and have him look at me and say, I never knew you. But there's going to be a bunch of them that do it. Many. Billy Sunday made the reference one time. I don't know much about Billy Sunday's ministry or what he believed or what he taught, but I do recognize the truth of this statement that he made. He said, hell's going to be so full of preachers, their feet's going to be sticking out the window. That's the God's honest truth. I don't know about anything else he said. That's the God's honest truth. Many's going to come, and many's going to be confident. And I don't want to be one of them. That's it. They are false apostles, deceitful workers, and liars. They are out there. They are everywhere. Their numbers are legion. Their lies are many, and their followers are multitudes. And they're on the broad way that leads to destruction. This is a fact. Now, that was last week's message. So this week's message is something different. Paul wrote of this Antichrist. And those who have the spirit of Antichrist now. Yeah. It's in the world now.
Yeah.
He wrote of those who had received strong delusion from God, that they should believe a lie. But Paul didn't stop there. He kept going. And this is the good part. He gives thanks for the brethren. He didn't give thanks for everybody, Walter. He didn't thank God for everyone. There were some people that were a thorn in his flesh, a thorn in his spirit, a thorn in his ministry. Somebody did him much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. But Paul thanked God for the brethren, the brothers in Christ, the sisters in Christ. He thanked God for the family of God. The brethren are beloved of God. Paul knows that they're the beloved of God because they are the family of God. And this family of God was chosen from the beginning by God. This is because at the beginning there was only God. I wasn't there to make a choice. And neither was anyone else except Christ. And this choice was made to salvation. This choice was not made because of my choice for salvation, or my choice to be saved. Now, I did make a choice. And if you believe him, you've made a choice. But I made my choice because he made his. I didn't even know him. But he revealed himself unto me. Christ actually told his disciples, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." You don't want to put the cause before the effect. I mean, you do want to put the cause before the effect. You don't want to put the effect before the cause. And that's what happens with all these false apostles, these people under strong delusion, and that's the lie. That I make my choice, so God actually chose me because he knew what I would do. No, God knew what you would do because he made his choice. You don't want to put the cart before the horse. We got a wasp up here. I'm no different than those disciples. I didn't choose him, he chose me first. And guess what? God still hadn't changed. Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if it's true 2,000 years ago that his disciples didn't choose him, he chose them, it's true now. His people are chosen by him. The brethren were chosen to salvation in Christ. The brethren were chosen to salvation by God in Christ. The brethren were chosen to salvation by God in Christ from the beginning. If I'm his child, he chose me from the beginning. If you're his child, he chose you from the beginning. Walter, this ain't nothing new. People think it's new because this country went through a period, and is in it, where the only places where this is preached is in little places like this. because the masses are on the Broadway. They're happy on the Broadway. They don't want to hear this. And it's a whole lot easier now to go somewhere else. Now, I'm glad we can go somewhere else because I can come here. That's right. You drive past a bunch of churches to go up there. Yes, I do. And I will continue to do so as long as God gives me the ability to drive and gasoline to put in my vehicle. Because I've been in some places like that. It ain't no fun. I don't need wildfire enthusiasm to get me riled up to have a good time. Amen. I need the gospel preached.
Yeah. Yeah.
In word and in truth.
Yeah.
That's all I need. Earl one time looked at me one time. He said, he says, it's hard sometimes. And I said, geez, Earl, we're not hard to please. All you got to do is tell the truth. And if you tell the truth, those who don't like it will leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have.
Yeah.
They go. And some of them I miss more than others. Some of them I don't miss. But if they wanted to come back to hear the truth, they're more than welcome to come back. Because this is all we got. The words of Christ. That's all we have. And that's all I want to hear from up here. I don't want to hear social commentary, although a little social commentary is not bad. As it relates to Christ. As it relates to the truth. Because there is nothing new under the sun. Paul had problems with the same kind of people we had. That's why he wrote this stuff down. They went out from us. They were going out from them 2,000 years ago. It might be manifest that they weren't of us. So they had to have been of us. They'd have no doubt. Continued with us.
Amen.
No doubt. It's not new. It's the way it's always been. People who hate the light will leave the truth. They may endure for a while. Some of them may endure to the end. Or be enduring at the end. So they think. But if they don't believe it, that's when Christ says, I never knew you. God chose me from the beginning if I am his child. God chose you from the beginning. If you are his child, you are a member of his family. Now that's not boasting. That's grace. If you think that you chose him, and because of that, he chose you, you don't know him. Because to know him is to know him who does the choosing. God's choice is to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. If you believe the truth, you would believe what Paul wrote here and in other places. You would believe what Christ said to his disciples. You didn't choose me, I chose you. If you believe the truth, you'd believe God. Now, I looked at this. And the word belief here, the Greek word is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. It is used 244 times in the New Testament according to Strong's Concordance. It is translated, in this instance, belief one time. It is translated assurance one time. It is translated them that believe one time, and it is translated fidelity one time. The other 239 times, it is translated faith. Faith of the truth. Now, sanctification of the Spirit means that the sanctification comes from the Spirit. It is of the Spirit. Faith or belief of the truth is of the truth.
Right. Amen. Of the truth.
There are those who would try to explain this verse. Well, yeah. Well, destroy rest to their own destruction, you know. There's a reason Peter writes that stuff. They rest them, buddy. They will wrestle with the scripture until it says exactly the opposite of what it means.
Amen. Right.
So he chose us because we believed.
Yeah.
The same word here, pistis, is used in this verse. For by grace are ye saved through faith.
Yeah.
And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The faith is of the truth. People say, you Baptists always read that verse. Yes, we do. Because it's still there. It hadn't gone anywhere in 2,000 years. And, you know, you can take it out of a new one, but I still got my old one. And pretty much that's stuck up in here, too, in my head. The faith is of the truth. Pilate was talking to Jesus Christ. John 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Deal with it. If you don't hear him, not of the truth.
Yeah.
And just for general purposes, four chapters before that, John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They don't like that neither. Jesus Christ is the truth. Everyone that is of him hears his voice. His voice is true. His words are true. And he is the truth. I might have to... Excuse me just a moment. Yeah, you knew I was coming. There you go. Go see Debbie. It's all right. I don't like wasps. I'm sorry. Anyhow. His voice is true, his words are true, and he is the truth. Faith and belief come from him. Sanctification is of the Spirit. You thought I left that part out. I'm just not going in order for some reason. But this is written this way here because life comes before faith in salvation. Life comes before faith. That was a good question. Somebody asked Earl that one time, which comes first, life or faith? Well, life does. It's kind of a no-brainer if you know the truth. It's unheard of question in free will circles. Because, see, you believe God gives you life. You come forward, pray the prayer, God will give you eternal life. No, life comes before faith.
Amen.
Regeneration comes before conversion.
Right.
The choice of God comes before them both.
Yeah.
That comes from the beginning.
Amen.
The rest of it happens in time.
Yeah.
But that came from the beginning. And is the cause of both of them. Regeneration and conversion. Sanctification and faith come from the choice. It's written right there in black and white.
Amen.
Faith is not the reason for his choice. Sanctification is not the reason for his choice. They are the results of his choice. These, sanctification and faith, are what the brethren have been chosen to.
Right, right. Yeah.
That's a good thing. Because
mm-hmm.
It doesn't lie in me. And it doesn't lie in you.
Yeah.
And it's not boasting. It's mercy and it's grace because I can't do anything for it. I was going on about my own way. I had no interest in God until he came from the outside and did something to me on the inside.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I started caring.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand why, but I did understand that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothered the heck out of me. It did. It was irritating. Why in the world am I worrying about this now? I didn't worry about it for 23 years. I thought I was doing okay. At that time, I didn't know what light was. The sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth here refer to the salvation we are chosen to.
Amen.
Not the choosing, which is the way everybody else wants to read that sentence. But it's not so. The salvation is through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief, faith, of the truth, Christ. Now this is where I'm concerned. Because this is what happens to every believer.
Yeah.
Because if it hasn't happened to you, you don't know him. And I'm not saying you're apostate or anything like that, but you might be lost. If this hasn't happened, you don't know him. Because this happens to every elect child of God. The sanctification of the Spirit changes the child of God. It changed me. The living sinner is not the same as the dead sinner. Because the living sinner is no longer dead. Ta-da. I mean, seriously. If you take the first step, God will meet you there. The first step is to come out of the grave. Henry Mahan had that right.
Yeah.
The first step is to come out of the grave. Do that, then we'll talk. But it ain't going to happen. In all the years of this book right here, it never happened.
Amen.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that goes back way before me or you. It's always been grace. It's always been mercy. It's always been because of God's choice in the beginning. The living sinner is no longer dead. Being a sinner, the concept in you, goes from being this kind of vague generalization, you know, well, everybody's a sinner, you know, and I really do bad things sometimes. It goes to being a specific personal sense of guilt. It becomes very internalized. You become a lot less concerned with everyone being a sinner and a lot more concerned with yourself being one. I am prone to say things have changed, but things haven't changed. I changed. Things around me were all the same, but I saw them differently. And I saw me differently. Everyone around you still the same, but you see them differently too. They haven't changed. Unless God did something for them, you've changed. And you're the same, but you're not the same. And I don't know any other way to put that. If this has happened to you, I think you might know what I'm talking about. You are the same person, but you're not. Things have changed for you because you see yourself differently. Everything becomes internalized. Now, I understand why they say, you know, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but it's a lot more to it than that. Because it is personal. When God speaks, He speaks to the individual.
Amen.
Now, the day of Pentecost, 5,000 people, He spoke to each individual person.
Mm-hmm.
Individually.
Yeah.
And they all went through this. Because nothing's changed. Because you become too worried about yourself being a sinner to worry about anybody else being one at this time. Life has come to the child of God, and the spirit of fear comes with it. But it doesn't stay. Something else comes. Paul wrote, he said that we have not again received the spirit of fear to bondage, but the spirit of adoption. Because then comes the faith of the truth. Then comes the faith of Jesus Christ, which comes from God. Then, Walter, we can hear the call of the gospel. Before sanctification of the Spirit, before the faith of Christ, you're not going to hear the call of the gospel. You might hear people preach it. You might comprehend it mentally in some ways, but you're not going to hear the call of the gospel. Then believers will answer the call of the gospel. After sanctification of the Spirit, and faith of the truth. Because the gospel of Christ is not the power of God to everyone.
Right.
I want to say that again in a different way. The gospel of Christ is the power of God, but not to everyone.
Right.
Because to some, it's the savior of death unto death.
Right.
Some it's the savior of life unto life. Some it's the savior of death unto death. Romans 1:16, this is where I got this from. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
Amen.
To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. If you don't believe, you're not in that statement. The people who don't believe aren't included in that statement. That's why people can sit for week after week after year in a gospel preaching church, Sovereign Grace Church, and never be affected by it. They can see the logic behind it. They can see the scriptural proof behind it. They can see that it's true. But until sanctification of the Spirit comes and faith of the truth, mm-hmm. it's like water off a duck's back. That's all it is. The gospel of Christ is the power of God to everyone that believes. The gospel of Christ is the power of God to those chosen by God after the sanctification of the Spirit and the faith of Christ. After that comes the Spirit of adoption, whereby believers can cry, Abba, Father. Then we can stand fast in the Word. We can stand fast in the Word. I may not be able to stand fast anywhere else, Mason, but I hope I can stand fast in the Word. Because there's a lot of things in this world that you end up doing that you'd rather not do. Some days I'd rather not go to work. It's just the truth. I'd rather not put up with a bunch of blind people, whether they be co-workers or customers. And I feel the need to, some days I just want to take a day off. But I don't ever want to take a day off from this. I don't want to take a day off from the truth. I want to stand fast. I want to stand. Having done all, therefore, to stand, stand. That's what I want to do. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. There's a whole lot to the simplicity that's in Christ. A fellow was here with you last week. He came up to me and he told me, he says, well, what you said was come down to four words. And it was like Jesus did it all. And that's true. But there's a whole lot in what he did. It is simple. It is single. I like that word. The singleness of Christ. Everything's in him. Choosing. The sanctification, to the faith, to the answer of the call of the gospel comes from him. And we do need to stand fast in the singleness of Christ. In him, we are to live and move and have our being. Because without him, we ain't got no life. There is no life without him. And I remember those days. I have to think back now. It's been a while. And I'm glad it's been a while. When some of you people first met me, I was a novice. But I've been through a few things since then. And I don't miss the old days before I knew Christ. Walter, I still get to do what I want, and a lot of the things I want to do have changed. Because now I want to be here, and I can. And I thank him for it. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this place, this time, which we have set aside to try to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we ask for your blessings as we go forth in this world, which you have given us and you will continue to give us until we awake in your likeness. And we thank you for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who purchased all this for us on the tree at Calvary and rose up from the dead, signifying his acceptance and thereby in him our acceptance by you. In his name we ask. Amen.